and choose.
Okay. Now, I ask just because my view from just reading the newspaper is that the best ambassador for the entire program has been that poor pottery store owner out in Seattle. She actually answered the phones. She was cheerful and well-informed, as far as I can tell. And she conveyed a sense of patience and compassion for those poor souls who needed health insurance and knew the time was running out. So if you read that that pottery business somehow goes belly up out there in Seattle, tell her to come to Maryland, because that customer service could really help us out. I'll wrap up the point, Governor. I appreciate having the floor. There's frankly nothing that I can say about the performance of the Maryland Health Exchange to date that hasn't already been said and that isn't painfully evident to the taxpayers of Maryland. That said, I do hope that this entire experience with the exchange serves as a precautionary tale in future situations where the temptation might be to bypass the state of Maryland's traditional time-honored procurement process and in so doing bypass this Board of Public Works for the sheer act of expediency, sake of expediency. I'm afraid this is precisely what has occurred in this instance in our desire to get this transformational new initiative done quickly. We didn't take that first critical step to getting it done right. To be honest, we'll never know how differently things would have turned out if this board had been given the opportunity to scrutinize the $161 million in contracts that were instead awarded on a fast track to firms such as Nordion Healthcare and others. I'm not about to suggest that this board is a magic wand that could have foreseen and rectified all the problems that have plagued this program from the word go. But I will say there is no substitute for the transparency that is provided within this venue, and there is no substitute for the experienced, independent oversight that is provided by this board and our most capable staff. There is no substitute for forum that allows all three of us to ask pointed questions about the cost and necessity of services that we're buying and the technical credentials of those who we're being asked to hire. There's a damn good reason why this board has stood the test of time since the Constitutional Convention of 1864. This is the only appropriate place to consider contracts like these, and I sincerely hope in the future state policymakers resist the urge to bypass this essential part of the procurement process in a well-intentioned desire to act quickly. This is like when you're in school and you have to actually stand up in front of the class and give an oral report. That's what the Board of Public Works provides. And for several years I've raised the point that this was a huge mistake to bypass this board. And I'm just sad we're here, because we all support everybody getting health care as quickly as possible. And sorry, Governor, for going on, but it is a hopefully a lesson that we can learn from. And I will refer folks to the August 10th, 2011 Board of Public Works meeting where some of these same individuals were standing, where I said very explicitly, you will rue the day that you bypass the Board of Public Works, because you risk exactly what we have right now.
Mr. Comptroller, if I may.
Mr. Kemp, yes. I have to say, I'm totally confused about which contract is which at this point. This says, A1 says, the original award date was 2009. Is that so? Is this a modification of a 2009 contract?
Madam Treasurer, this is a modification of an old contract that is still in place, where we've had various services from Xerox, including
predating
the
all of the things.
Right, and in fact, the emergency contracts that we've brought before you today are not exchange contracts, just to be very clear. They've enabled Medicaid to help bring 140,000 people into.
And I understand this contract, this 2009 contract. Did that come to the Board of Public Works?
Yes, yes.
It did.
Yes.
So this, what we're talking about today, in fact, has followed the normal procurement process.
Both contracts that are up on Appendix A1 and A2 followed the normal process at BPW. Yes.
Okay.
Did you find the original amount of policy, whatever it is?
$62 million over 7 years.
$62 million.
Correct.
And this adds $2 million to it.
Correct. if I may, Mr. Controller, as far as the larger issues that you had brought up regarding the procurement process itself, there's a couple points to make here, and that can be characterized as pre-award process and post-award processes. And what we found out in recent weeks, obviously, is that a lot of the problems related to the HICS resulted in the post-award process. But let me just articulate a couple points regarding the pre-award process. And we believe that that was sound based on a couple items here, is that, state legislation established that the exchange could conduct procurement without participating in this particular forum, which obviously you're aware of. Soon after its formation.
But if I could just interrupt, didn't it give you the option of coming before the Board of Public Works, the state law?
It did not have the requirement to come to the Board of Public Works in terms of procurement. So that could be interpreted as an option. However, you know, due to the extremely aggressive timeline set forth by the federal government, there was a particular need to have this special authority as ratified by the state in terms of law to have the procurement authority. A couple other points is that, again, these are points related to the pre-award, is that soon after the formation, the Health Benefit Exchange adopted procurement policies with support of the Office of the Attorney General. The policies did provide for a rigorous competitive process for major procurements. Consistent with the policy, the selection for the IT vendor, Noridian, began in the fall of 2011 and took several months. It was not a procurement that took place just in a matter of weeks. The Procurement Review Committee included members from various state agencies here within the state. The selection process factored in a number of categories, including the understanding of the technical challenge, the quality of the staff, and past performance, including reference checks and meeting system requirements. Each proposal was reviewed independently by the said evaluation team, and proposals were then quantitatively rated collectively in a six full-day and six half-day sessions across all evaluation categories. Based on this review, the team unanimously recommended the Noridian bid as the strongest technical proposal and at a competitive price. So in sum, this was not a slapdash procurement that excluded key state experts. It was a deliberate process with a unanimous recommendation. Now, again, those were all steps that took place prior to the award. Problems that were identified in the post-award, as it has been widely reported, the software we purchased had significant defects. The state is doing everything possible, despite these flaws, to help Marylanders enroll. The state is also evaluating all of our options with respect to the vendors and with respect to our IT platform for the next open enrollment period. So, unfortunately, as we've seen, a sound procurement methodology does not guarantee a successful project. The problems that occurred during the post-award period, irrespective of the procurement methodology, include a prime vendor, even one with a very strong record, implementing complex systems with the federal government, severely misrepresenting the maturity of its off-the-shelf system, to the primary vendor outsourcing its leading role to an unauthorized subcontractor under an undisclosed profit-sharing agreement. And three, infighting between the prime contractor and said subcontractor, resulting in the stoppage of work during the most critical period of software development. Those are all factors that took place post-award, and we feel that the procurement process itself, in getting to the award itself, would not have prevented those problems from occurring.
Well said, Mr. Kim.
If I could just follow up and ask a question, because I'm just listening to what you had to say. So who exactly was in charge of the health exchange? And who was overseeing the procurement? Madam Secretary, I think you were mentioned in the testimony here as including all sorts of state government agencies. I mean, who was in charge? Who was the check and balance authority saying this is where we want to place the taxpayers' money?
Well, the decision to ultimately to make the award, again, was a unanimous recommendation that was the decision was made by the Health Exchange Board itself.
So, I don't know. Secretary Foster, can you help me understand what the I mean, I understand the normal process that we have. I don't understand this process. And apparently a lot of folks from IT or different agencies were involved in this committee. And so I guess my question is this your process or someone? Whose process is it?
Do we have a procurement advisor?
Yes. I can say that the law creating the health exchange did require that they develop procurement policies and procedures. And those policies and procedures were approved, it's my understanding, by the board of the healthcare exchange. So there were written procedures in place, but not necessarily similar to the states. I don't know that for a fact. But
well, the board is a distinguished group of people. I like a lot of them. Tom Sequela, I think, was lobbyist here in town. That's great. And George Benjamin, boy, he's got a legendary status. So anyone that knew anything about IT?
Again,
please. I'm sorry. I'm stressing the wrong person.
Again, the scrutiny related to the IT questions came, obviously, during the evaluation process itself, whereby we did have, again, statewide experts in IT evaluating the products that were being presented to us, presented to the exchange, rather.
So you're saying they were the experts and advisors and not the members of the committee other than DeWitt? Were there representatives of DeWitt on the committee?
We had representatives from, obviously, DHMH, DHR, and DHMH, and the Health Benefit Exchange itself. So three entities within the state of Maryland and
I missed that, Madam Treasurer. You said there was someone from DeWitt?
Yes.
Who's that on the committee?
The extent of the DeWitt involvement in the selection process, in the evaluation committee, was, I don't know exactly who the person was, but it was somebody that was under the former CIO, Mr. Schlanger.
Well, you get my point that you've got all these wonderful people that you've listed on the board and then the committee, but there still seems to be only one person, if that person, who had any significant IT experience. And,
the CIO for the chief information officers from DHR, DHMH, and the exchange itself were the IT experts, of the largest government departments that we have.
Only point is that you need to bring this before a public forum. You need to be able to withstand the scrutiny and the questions from people that are supportive of the program and want it to succeed. And this is, you know, the proof is in the pudding here. Didn't work. It was a flawed procurement process, perhaps because it was so new. And we're now having to deal with it. But think what would have happened if some of the post-implementation problems had been flagged at the front end by a board like this. And they aren't flagged if it's all done deep in the bureaucracy somewhere. You've got to come out in the sunlight, in the day, and stand up and defend it, particularly when you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of contracts. And, you know, I'm going to stop asking anything because it just, I hope in the future every one of these big contracts, not just the emergency ones, will come before this board voluntarily by you and Dr. Sharfstein and go through this process because can't guarantee it, but we might have ended up with something where, you know, more than three people signed up on the first day.
It's my understanding that on our goal of signing up 260,000 people that we're at approximately 210,000. Mr. Kim, thank you. You represented, I think, the facts very well. And maybe we should have a morning sometime where we come back and go through the 22 other complex IT platforms we've implemented, about which there were no glitches and therefore no reporting. It was kind of a joke. I don't know. I don't really think they'd report it even if we spent a whole meeting on it. But okay. On this item, Treasurer moves approval. Seconded by the Comptroller. All in favor, signal by saying aye. Aye. All opposed? The ayes.